Welcome to episode 494 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. And wow, there's a lot of news this week.
So much news this week. And a little bit of feedback. So,
well, and you know, we always expect some feedback from Paul. Lawn Paul.
While Captain I think, Lawn Paul.
While I think he's mowing his lawn. I think this is when this happens.
Hopefully it's not while he's driving, because he actually sent us three messages.
Yeah, I think this was split between three email messages this week.
Yeah. So most of the messages were about how you find Xbox Game Pass for PC content when you're on a PC. And I'm actually going to talk about this as with some news later in the show, but he did point out a way that you can find it in the store. If you open up the store and up in the upper right-hand corner, you click the three little dots, which is like the settings menu, and then you go to My Library. Over there, if you're a Game Pass subscriber, there will be a left-hand navigation menu item that says Game Pass. This does work. It's not great, though. So it does work, but like me, I have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. So that's Game Pass on Xbox consoles and on PC. So it shows all Game Pass content, including all of the console titles. The PC titles will either have a manage button or a play button or an install button next to them. Actually, no, it's the console ones that have a manage button, the if you have them installed somewhere. Play if you've got a PC game installed on that computer, or an install button if it's a PC game that you don't have installed on that computer. It works. It's not great. Later on in the show, we're going to tell you some better ways to do this, multiple different ways that are all better than this. But thank you, Paul, for pointing this out, because a week ago, this would have been really, really helpful.
Also, by the way, that three dots, if it's the horizontal three dots, there's a movement in the UX industry, if you will, to start calling that the meatballs menu.
I thought it was the kebab menu.
No, that's vertical.
Oh, that's vertical. Okay. Okay. I like meatball menu. I'm down
for
that.
Absolutely.
All of these icons that are named after food, I am A-okay with.
Now, Paul also mentioned that since I've been watching Black Mirror, he had a story about how through, I don't know, imagine the scene from Ferris Bueller where his friend's cousin's brother's fiance knew something about someone who said that apparently somehow Disney is the rights owner to Black Mirror. And how friggin' crazy is that?
Yeah, that's super weird. It's super weird.
Because Disney's, you know, I don't know, kind of above the board. And even when they, for that period of time when they had, was it Mirage or one of those independent movie studios, and everybody was like, oh, I can't believe Disney's showing naked people. But this is dark. Like, Black Mirror is really, really dark. And I'll talk more about that because I've been watching more recently. I'm kind of surprised by this. So he suggests that maybe there'll be a, you know, Disney After Dark channel one day. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Probably not. I don't think they would put the word Disney in it.
Right, exactly.
That's not going to happen. All right, well, let's move on. We actually, despite all of the news, or maybe this makes more sense because of all of the news, we have a featured story this week. And I'm not sure if Richard would have necessarily agreed that this should be the featured story, but I put it here not for reasons that I think Richard expects. And the featured story here, like many other episodes before, is a Plex story. Plex has a new desktop app. And that really doesn't sound that interesting on the surface, right? I mean, most of us aren't sitting down at our desktop computers or our laptops to use Plex. We're sitting down in front of our TVs, or maybe we're doing it on our tablets or our phones or something like that. I don't think most people are using Plex on their desktop all that often. We'll get into that. But they still do. And so they've worked to give us a new one. And instead of it being Plex Media Player or all of these other confusing names, it's just called Plex.
Makes sense. Finally.
Yep. It's on Windows. It's on Mac for people like Richard. If you are a Windows person, you might be wondering, so do I have this already? Because I installed Plex in the Microsoft Store or the Windows Store, whatever you want to call it, whatever Microsoft is calling it this week. No, you don't. In fact, if you open up the Windows Store, you won't find Plex there anymore. They've removed it from there. This is no longer a Windows Store app. It is just a regular desktop application. And I'm pretty sure, Richard, you're probably not happy about this, that they basically just took their web app. They've been doing everything in React, which is a web technology, and turned that into this desktop app. And I'm primarily guessing that because it looks like the web app and it looks like the TV app.
I mean, pretty much that is what Plex Media Player has been. It has been nothing more than the web experience in a desktop wrapper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's definitely some benefits to that, because that means that you get all of the advanced management capabilities of the website within the app. So you can manage libraries and stuff like add new folders to libraries and things like that, that you can't do on like your tablet. So that's all good. Apparently has a better/newer player engine. So it should have the vast majority of the features that you're looking for in a desktop app. And like I said moments ago, it has that new UI, that sidebar based navigation system that is starting to grow on me as I've played with it more over the last couple of weeks.
Well, and in all fairness, it's a slightly different sidebar UI than what we've seen on the 10-foot experience. And I am so thankful for that, because that suggests to me that maybe they'll get the mobile experience right. But this is an experience where when that sidebar is collapsed, and this was one of your concerns early on with this release, is how do you know it's there? And the way you'll know it's there is that the collapsed version on the desktop app is actually a strip of icons, very similar, funny enough, to UWP apps.
Right. Yeah, the old Windows Store apps, right? Yeah, but it has
calling UWP the old Windows.
Well, some people might not know what UWP means. Like way back in the early days of the Windows Store, the only apps in there were UWP apps. But then they started adding native desktop apps to the store.
Well, that's why it surprises me that this isn't available in the stores. So does that mean that you have to go to the website to get it? And even on iOS, for example, not iOS, on my Mac, I won't find it in the store. I have to go to their website to get it.
I know I had to go to their website to get it on Windows.
Mm, okay.
So, I don't know why they didn't put this in the store. It seems like they could have.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason not to. It's a free app, so it's not like they're giving royalties or anything like that to Microsoft. So here's the big thing that I think makes this the more featured story. The desktop app in all of the previous versions of the Plex Media Player app, or whatever we would call it, had a TV mode for home theater PC usage.
Right.
For people like us who built computers and shoved them behind our entertainment centers and ran HDMI cables to our TVs and hooked up USB remote receivers and went through all of the craziness of maintaining a desktop computer to do all of the stuff on our TV in the living room. Doesn't have that anymore. Like this, we're already seeing Windows Media Center It isn't totally dead. I keep saying it's not dead until the guide date is dead, although it might be dead come January, because you really shouldn't use an unsupported operating system. And come January, Windows 7 is no longer a supported operating system. But Windows Media Center is basically dead. So many people who left Media Center went to Plex. Plex is now killing their home theater PC version of their app. Is the home theater PC dead? Is this the death of the home theater PC?
You're going to blame it on Plex? Come on.
I'm not blaming it on Plex, but if you want to be super pedantic, the answer is no, because there are still other options.
I would argue that if you want to be super pedantic, the moment that they stopped providing any integration to the Windows Media Center environment, that as far as Plex is concerned, that was no longer an option for Media Center, right? You still had to launch that manually. So I don't know. I tend to think that I know we still have people out there, like you just said, I tend to believe that the home theater PC is dead. Plex is just kind of aligning with that. But here's what I don't like about that. What I don't like about that is that just because we don't have home theater PCs doesn't mean that you still don't use your Mac or PC in a lean back way. Many, many people use their PC or their laptop as their primary way of viewing television. And if you're no longer going to offer any sort of 10-foot interface experience, I think that is a mistake.
But if you're using a desktop PC or a laptop as your video player experience, your TV sort of experience, you're still not 10 feet away from it.
Let's say I'm in my dorm room and okay. I'm hanging out on my bed, because there's two places that I can be in my dorm room. I can be in my desk chair and I can be in my bed.
Yep.
And my computer's over at my desk and I'm watching it on my nice big monitor, and I don't have a way of actually navigating it now with my wireless remote, which works 10 feet away just fine.
Right. Yeah. Although in Plex's article, I'm gonna read a quote from the article. It says, "We looked at how most people were using the app, and most of you will have an equal, if not better, experience with a streaming device and our new players." And it sounds like they looked at the numbers and there weren't many people doing that.
Well, so that's a very interesting way of saying that. You'll have an equal or better experience with a streaming device and our new players. A Mac and a PC, I wouldn't call those streaming devices.
No, they mean buy a Roku or something and hook it up to your TV.
Right. Use the so Roku it, it almost suggests that they're like, yep, we're just not going to support this mode on PCs anymore because we didn't have enough people doing it compared to the other streaming environments that are optimized for that. And I get it, but I don't know. I mean, I realized that all of the different interfaces that Plex had for all of the different platforms was never sustainable as the environment continues to evolve, right? So they had to consolidate, and right. I'm glad they have, but this particular compromise feels premature.
So Sixth Layer in the chat says, "I bet looking at the numbers is flawed. Microsoft said the same thing about Media Center, but most users disabled sharing analytics, so they weren't counted. I bet the same is true for Plex." I thank you for the comment, Sixth Layer, but I don't agree. I don't think that's true. I think that most people are using Plex on a TV or on a tablet or...
Yeah. I think that's probably true, but I also agree with what he's saying. I am one of those people who does not share my analytics.
Yeah, but I don't even know that I agree with his statement that most people disabled analytics in Media Center. I think that if you did, then you might be part of the reason why Media Center died.
I certainly did, but I don't believe that, well, whatever. I mean, yeah, Media Center wasn't successful. It only had 6 million users, more than three times what TiVo had at the time. Got to get rid of that. Jeez. Right. Anyway, not that I'm bitter.
Yeah. So it's not really the death of the home theater PC, but I'm very
by the way,
curious.
That already came. Like, just in case you were wondering.
Do you think?
Oh, come on.
Well,
come on.
I feel like
we're patronizing home theater PC users if we're saying otherwise. Look, we know that there are hobbyists out there who are going to continue to do this. And for those of you who are interested in that, I think that is awesome. But it's going to be harder and harder. It is at the edge of the support window. And I think the general, like, I think if you just say home theater PC to even most tech people nowadays, they're going to be like, what? Are you kidding me?
I agree, but I'm curious what our listeners think. I've known a lot of friends and coworkers because I work in a tech space. Got a lot of geeky friends. So I've known a lot of people who have had home theater PCs, and almost none of them do anymore. But that's a fairly small sample size. So I'm curious from our listeners, how many of you are still actually using a home theater PC, a computer hooked up to your TV, and how many of you have moved on to other things? Because Richard and I both moved on, and we run a friggin' podcast about this stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I know I'm being sarcastic, and I know I'm being a little bit harsh about it. And I'm not trying to disparage anyone who's still doing this by any means,
because
it is cool stuff, but it's harder and harder to do because vendors just aren't supporting it anymore.
Right. Right. And 4K Blu-ray makes this a lot harder than Blu-ray was. Like, there are a lot of reasons that HTPC is actually harder in 2019 than it was in 2009. But there are some people still doing it because they have complete control. So, very
curious
to hear from the rest of you.
Agreed. Well, hey, you know what? It turns out that one of the things that we used to rely on for our home theater PCs was HD Home Run. And guess what? They're supporting streaming boxes now.
Well, they've been supporting streaming boxes for a long time, but we've been waiting for the most popular one to really get supported, and that's Roku.
Now, I wrote about when they initially put out a beta release of their Roku app that allowed you to do nothing but play TV.
Live TV.
Right, live TV. Play go to a channel, watch it, go to another channel, watch it, turn it off. That's what it led you to do.
Mm-hmm.
You have found that now they have DVR capability.
Yes, they've updated the Roku app. They're still calling it beta. It's not quite done yet, but they've brought most of the regular functionality to this app. So it's got the DVR stuff. You can fast forward and rewind. You can stop a recording that you have, pick up right where you left off on another device, get progress info. You can do channel recall stuff. They've just generally made the UI a little bit better experience on the Roku. So my Roku is sitting in a drawer. It has been for ever. So I've not tried this out, but this is great. You know, if you've got a Roku device, or if you've got one of those TCL TVs with Roku built in, and you've had an HD Home Run, because if you're doing OTA, not through some, you know, like a TiVo or something like that, you're probably doing it through an HD Home Run. You know, if you're doing it for Plex or whatever, HD Home Run is basically the only way to do this anymore. So now you've got it with Roku. This is good news. I mean, it's all free stuff. I mean, the DVR service is not free, but to finally have real solid service on the most popular streaming player is a really big deal for HD Home Run and our friends over at Silicon Dust.
That's really cool stuff. I'm glad to see this. Now we need one on Apple TV.
I keep forgetting that they don't have this app on Apple TV. They just expect you all to pay money for channels.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently so. But yeah. Then we're not getting their DVR service, right? So,
right.
One of these days, I hope we see a native Apple TV app.
Right. Maybe that's next.
As I understand it, I think it was a content protection issue.
Hmm. Yeah, that would actually make a ton of sense. A ton of sense. Six Layer says he has a TCL Roku UHD TV, and he says that the HD home run works okay, but scrolling through channels is slow and it doesn't support favorites yet. So, but like we said, it's still beta. They're not done. I'm sure favorites is coming, but things like DVR playback were probably a higher priority. So thanks for
what's
this.
What's favorites?
Like favorite channels.
You can do that?
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
I haven't used it in a little while. I remember setting up favorites through the my.hdhomerun.com web app. You can go in and star different channels to make them your favorites. And then you can remember being able to like get a filtered view of the guide where it's just your favorites.
Oh my God, I need that so bad.
So go to my.hdhomerun.com and go to your tuner and go and set that up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There's your tip of the week.
All right. We'll find out if that works. Because remember, I'm using the Servio. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that works there, but we'll find out.
I'm sure it does. Sure it does.
All right.
Handsome Rob says, Richard looks at all the channels on the guide like some savage.
I know. Seriously. And I hate it because there are all of those local and SD channels that I don't care about.
Right.
All right. Well, moving on, our other news in the video section tonight is that Disney Plus is apparently going to be everywhere you are. Well, unless you use Amazon Fire TV. They have announced that they are going to be on pretty much every streaming box out there, including game consoles,
right.
Including Chromecast, including a web application, but they haven't mentioned anything about Fire TV yet.
Right. Do you think that's just their last one that they're working on, or is there more to this?
I think it's the last one that they're working on, but I'm a little bit surprised by it because if you've done the Android TV version, you've already built an Android version of the application. You really just have to build it in a way that complies with whatever structure is necessary to get it on Fire TV. I don't know. This is weird. This is really weird. I'm a little bit surprised by this. Now, this doesn't mean that at launch, which isn't until middle of November, that they won't have it. But it is kind of surprising that they would list all of these different devices and not Fire TV yet. Now, the good news is it's going to be available in more than just the US initially. It's going to be US, Canada, Netherlands, Australia, New Zealand. Man, Disney really does not like the UK, do they? What is that about?
Let me go back real quick to the Fire TV thing.
Okay.
I don't think Fire tablets were included either. And how many kids out there have Fire tablets who would love to watch Disney Plus on their Fire tablets?
Wow. I wonder if this is, in fact, an Amazon, Apple, like arm wrestle thing.
I really hope it's not. I really hope it's just they're still tweaking that, because that would be real dumb.
Yeah, that would suck. That would absolutely suck. Also, by the way, not announced for TiVo. But I started thinking about this, and while the TiVo Bolt is positioning itself as, in addition to a cable device, also a cord cutters device, because they have the over-the-air version, and they have a lot of streaming apps, none of them, not this, not the new app for NBC, not the new app for HBO, not the new app that was discussed recently for, was it Paramount or one of the other networks?
Like NBC.
We talked about that. Oh. But Viacom, none of them are talking about support for TiVo, which is a little bit frustrating.
But how big are they compared to some of these other guys?
They're nowhere near as big.
Right.
So if you're TiVo, what you should be thinking about is how do I make...
money can we give these guys?
Well, okay, that's an option. But how do I make deploying to my environment as straightforward as possible if they've already developed an application for platform X, Y, and Z?
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, Amazon's figured that out because it's really only a couple of settings and apparently a business agreement to be able to deploy to Fire devices after you've already developed for Android. I know because we're doing this for Homeboy.
Right.
So if TiVo isn't doing something to make it easy for developers, then it's not likely that they're going to spend resources, that the companies are going to spend resources developing for yet another unique platform. And that's problematic for TiVo if they're really trying to be a competitor in the streaming box space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got the TiVo Bolt OTA. Thanks to them, they sent it to us. And I love it. Like, if you are a cord cutter, it's a fantastic device. You get an amazing TV experience, and it has most of the apps that you care about. But Disney Plus is absolutely going to be an app that I care about once this comes out. Everyone is talking about Disney Plus. It seems like this will very quickly be at least number three.
Just take $7. Just take my money. Take it now. I'll pay a year in advance. I'll pay 5 years in advance. I just take it.
I'm not paying 5 years in advance for a streaming service. All right. Well, hopefully there isn't something, you know, sneaky or whatever with the Amazon stuff. Hopefully it's just coming a little bit later. Hopefully it'll come to TiVo too. Man, you paint a gloomy picture for the TiVo. I hope they get that sorted out.
Yeah, I hope they do too. I hope they do too. All right. Well, next up, Spotify is finally adding parental controls for family accounts. Josh, you're a Spotify user, right?
I am. I have not gotten to try this yet. The one article that I read made it sound like this was another plan, that it was separate from the existing Spotify family plan.
No, it's my understanding that this is part of the existing Spotify plan. But here's the thing. You don't live in Ireland. And so we're not getting it yet.
Oh.
Now, the reason that I ask if you're still using Spotify is that I want to verify something. It's my understanding that the way parental controls work right now is that it lets you control the main account, but it doesn't end up applying those to the sub accounts. So if you have just one single account and it's not a family account, then parental controls apply to obviously anybody using that account. But if you have a family account with multiple sub accounts and you have children and spouse and such on sub accounts separate from the main account, that you can set an explicit filter for the account, but it doesn't apply for the sub accounts. How ridiculous is that?
Yeah, I don't know how it works exactly. I didn't think there was any such filtering and stuff like that on these accounts. So we've basically, only my oldest daughter has her own account. And she just avoids that stuff. And, you know, we check in occasionally, but she doesn't want, like, we joke quite frequently that my oldest daughter is way faster to clutch her pearls at bad language than me or her mom. So she wouldn't want to listen to music that has the explicit filter and stuff on it. But that's probably going to change sooner rather than later. So I'm looking forward to these types of controls. I didn't realize it was only in, what'd you say, Ireland? Yeah. Gonna have to look into that once it becomes available.
Yeah. And they'll be rolling it out to other countries that have family accounts. Not all countries have the family account option, but for those that do, this will be available to them at some point. We don't have timing on it, but it's nice that they're finally going to make this granular enough that you can control it by sub account if you are the account holder.
Can I take a moment to provide a public service announcement?
Absolutely.
I don't know how long ago it was, but sometime in the last couple of months, got one of those messages from Spotify saying, "We've noticed some suspicious activity. You should change your password." So I did, because it was probably a password that I had been reusing. So I changed my password, but I didn't look into anything else. Since this story came up, I opened my Premium for Family account. I have two sub accounts on here that aren't mine.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
Clicking to remove these. Goodbye.
And change your password again, apparently.
Well, they were probably made when my password was the old thing. I just double checked. My password is some crazy thing that LastPass generated now, but it probably wasn't before. So There we go. There you go. Check your Spotify premium accounts. Don't let other people glom off of your Spotify. All right, let's move into gaming. There's a lot here too. This is mostly due to the fact that this week is Gamescom, which is, depending on how you measure it, the biggest gaming conference in the world. And the way to measure it for this to be the biggest is by number of people that show up. And that works here because it's over in Cologne, Germany, and it's completely open to the public, and it's in a massive, massive hall. So they get hundreds of thousands of people pouring through this, which frankly sounds miserable to me. But that sounds like really long lines. But there are some big things going on over at Gamescom. So, of course, Microsoft is there, and they had some things to announce, but not a ton worth mentioning, because the vast majority of what they had to show was trailers for games coming up. They did announce that they've got another event coming up this year called XO19. Last year they did an XO that was in Mexico somewhere. This one's going to be in London, November 14th through the 16th. XO is a fan fest. You go to this place, you're going to have tons of Xboxes set up to play lots of games and other Xbox-related fun activities to check out. So it's just a fun event for the fans. So if you're in England or getting to London is easy for you, then you might want to check that out in November. They announced a couple new controllers, but God, at this point, like, they have 100 billion different controllers for the Xbox. It's not worth really digging into. Like I said, tons and tons and tons of trailers and a bunch of Xbox Game Pass announcements, new games coming on the console and on the PC side. Maybe one of the bigger announcements there is that the Blair Witch game that they announced at E3 is going to be an Xbox Game Pass game the day that it comes out, which is in the next week or two. So if you want to have the crap scared out of you by Blair Witch, you can do it if you're a Game Pass subscriber without any extra additional money. Here's where I'm actually going to talk about some of the things that Captain Lon Paul mentioned in his feedback earlier. There are a couple of new/updated apps that they kind of announced or made a big deal of over at Gamescom. The first one is Xbox Beta for PC, and it's Xbox and then beta in parentheses. If you don't have this and you're running the latest version of Windows 10, 1903, go and get this now, like right now, because it is a billion times better than any Xbox app that they have ever put on Windows 10. It is so much better.
Wow.
It's way faster. The content is like, it's what you're looking for. If you're a Game Pass subscriber, it's all right there, front and center. If you're looking for your Game Pass for PC games to install, it's super obvious here. No clicking on meatball menus and all of that crap. Like, it's just there. It's right there. And it's really good. The install experience for the games is really good. You have multiple hard drives on your computer, it gives you the option. That gets a little complicated because they're still coming from the store. And if you want to pick a hard drive that isn't your primary hard drive for your apps, then you actually have to change the default setting in Windows. Now, it takes you to the place to do that, but you have to change where all of your apps are going to be installed. It doesn't move things. If you already have all of your apps installed on your C drive and you want to install games now to your D drive, you can do that. And all of the things that are already installed stay in place, but all of your new things, including apps, not just games, will go to your D drive or whatever drive you select there. But the experience is really nice for getting your games installed and managed. There's lots of filtering and stuff. It's really good. They've also got all the social stuff. And by that, I mean your friends list and chatting and all of that stuff. This is all really slick. It's really fast. That's always been a really big problem with the previous apps. The chatting and messaging experience has been miserably slow. It is way better here. So, I mean, that alone might be reason enough to install it. Like, so just go and get the Xbox beta app. Forget that there are any other Xbox apps on your PC. Just use this one. It's really good. The other app that they announced is a new Game Pass app, Game Pass Beta, in parentheses, for mobile. If you're on Android, it's available now. If you're on iOS, it's a private beta. Go to Xbox Wire to find the details on how to get it. Android, it's just in the store. Go and download it. If you got it earlier in the week, you were probably thinking this app is a broken mess, and you would have been right. It's better now. They released an update today. Today is Wednesday, the 21st. You couldn't sign in, which meant you couldn't do a bunch of things. Like, the sign-in experience just didn't work. It works now, and they've added even more features just in the last couple of days. So you can get logged in. It gives you a playlist functionality. It's kind of like a wish list, sort of. Like, these are the games that I want to play. So when I'm done with whatever I'm doing now, I can just go to my playlist and say, oh, yeah, I wanted to play Wasteland 2. Cool. Now I know. I don't have to look through the hundreds of games that are available. I can just look at this filtered menu. It shows games, Game Pass games on console and on PC. That's one of the big things that's new here. There's been a Game Pass app on Android, but it only showed console games. Now you get the PC stuff also. One of the things that surprised me the most, it has remote install even for PC games. So you can pick a game, say install, and it says, sure, just tell us which PC is your preferred PC. And it gives you a list of all of your PCs that you've, like, I'm assuming it's all of your PCs with 1903 or newer. I mean, that's the newest one right now, but because you would need to have 1903 to install any of these games, but they just show up in the list. You pick one, bam, you're remote installing Game Pass games on your PC. So something we've been doing on consoles for a while.
Which, by the way, means that there's some background process that's always running on your PC for Game Pass.
Well, for Xbox, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure it's very low power and all that stuff.
Oh, I'm sure. So you mentioned that this is beta.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a known actual release date?
Well, there already is a Game Pass app that's not beta. So,
oh, okay. So this is just enhancing the existing one.
Well, no, it means that there are two apps now. One that's not beta.
This is so confusing.
And one that's normal.
Why?
Theoretically, all of this functionality will eventually show up in the regular app.
Oh, that's an interesting approach.
I would think. Yeah.
Huh. That's a really interesting approach. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, but, you know, new beta release, now you can log in. That's good.
Right. Kind of a big deal. Kind of important. I mean, it was still useful as, like, a catalog, I guess. But you couldn't do anything other than just look at the games before sign-in functionality actually worked. So, yeah. I mean, for things like this, just get the beta app. Like, forget the other app. It's not like this is mission critical software that's life or death things. Like,
right.
Ditch the the stable one and just use the beta. It's as long as it works, they're probably not going to horribly break it in the future. So just install the beta and forget about the regular one.
That's an endorsement.
Okay, so this is also, I think, from Gamescom. Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox over at Microsoft, sat down and was doing lots of interviews while he was there. And one of the things that, of course, came up was this whole rumor about how last year at E3 in 2018, Microsoft had shown off the next generation Xbox console. They said it was codenamed Scarlet. And then later, Brad Sams from Thorat was like, actually, there's going to be two consoles because one will be the big dog. The Anaconda is the code name for that. And I don't even remember now the code name for the streaming one. But according to Brad Sams, there would be a cheaper, lower powered version of the next generation Xbox that was just for streaming. And Phil Spencer is saying, no, that's not happening. We are not working on a streaming only console right now. It's not happening. There's just one. And this isn't really news. Like we had reported just a few weeks ago that it sounded like there's only one, but now Phil Spencer is confirming there's only one. There will only be one at launch, at least. I mean, eventually there'll probably be more.
But actually, to be fair, I think what we reported was that the rumored unconfirmed streaming only box might not happen on the schedule that we thought it would. Right. This is why. This is why, folks. Rumors.
Yes.
Let's stick with the news. Let's just stick with what we know.
Well, and you and I do generally try to do that. But when it's from trusted sources, okay. Like from trusted news sources that have generally been reliable in the past, then we'll typically report on it. I don't like throwing people under the bus, but I'm really starting to wonder if Brad Sams from Thorat is a trusted news source at this point.
Well, I mean, here's what very likely did happen. Brad may know some people at Microsoft, and he may know that people were working on some labs project where, you know, and I say that term labs kind of intentionally, where they were exploring, well, what if we just streamed everything? Like, what would happen if? The same thing happens in companies everywhere. It doesn't mean that they're bringing product to market. And that I repeatedly say is one of the reasons why we can't assume that just because a company is doing something that it means that we're going to see product.
Right, right. Yeah, we've just had a lot of leaks from Brad Sams, especially on the Xbox side, that have been wrong. Absolutely wrong.
Can I make a not a prediction, I guess, a supposition as to why?
Sure.
I bet he really wants this.
Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, let's move on. Also kind of not a major story here, but it's everywhere, so I feel like we at least need to talk about it briefly. Microsoft has no more plans. Like the headline here is no plans to release more Xbox exclusives on Nintendo Switch or PS4. And this is the same time, like they just announced that Ori and the Blind Forest is coming to Switch. Very recently, they released Cuphead on Switch. And people will who are really paying attention will know that there are games being made by studios that they acquired last year that are releasing on other platforms. Okay. That all, like, those things make sense. Like, games take a long time to make. They're usually, you know, 3 to 5 years in development. Unless you're Final Fantasy, then it's 10 years in development. Then, so when they acquired these studios last year, they had games that were already really far in the development process, and they already had legal agreements with other platform providers that they would be selling these games on those other platforms.
No, Josh, you don't understand. This clearly means we're going to see Halo on PS4.
Right. That is where a lot of people thought that this was going. Like, Minecraft is on PS4. They are way more open. And yes, they are way more open. Like, Microsoft does want to do cross play on third party titles across other platforms and stuff. And we even saw that at Gamescom, like PUBG is finally going to be cross play between Xbox and PlayStation 4. That's great. But that doesn't mean that Microsoft, like if you really thought that Microsoft was going to start putting all of their first party titles on PlayStation and Nintendo, like then they should just stop selling the Xbox at that point. They're just a software publisher at that point. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. So,
and if you're saying, oh, but yeah, they're doing it with all their other software, right? But that's because they're no longer making the hardware for that software.
But Richard, the Surface.
Come on.
I just have to say it before someone else says it to you. No, you're completely right. They're not the dominant player there. And they're not the dominant player in gaming either. But it is a different market. And it just doesn't make sense. Like, do I wish that they would? Yes. I wish Sony would too. And I wish Nintendo would. Because platform exclusives are bad for the consumer. But it's not going to happen here. It'd be nice, but it's not going to happen. And if only Microsoft did it, it would actually be bad for Microsoft. They would all have to do it for this to actually work. And that's definitely not going to happen. All right. Now some non-Microsoft gaming news. We'll hit on these quickly also. So NVIDIA, also, of course, at Gamescom, pretty much the biggest player in the hardware side of gaming stuff with their GeForce graphics cards. They are releasing a brand new driver. Like, this sounds so lame. Really, Josh? You're reporting on new drivers for video cards? No, this is actually kind of interesting.
Well, what's funny is I think I saw this story too. And normally I'd be like, oh, so what? A driver update.
Right. Yeah, you actually put this in the notes. I was thinking of putting it in the notes. You actually put it in the notes. So this is actually bringing some pretty cool features, though. So there's this new integer scaling thing, which basically, if you're into retro and pixel art kind of games, you want this new integer scaling mode because it makes those types of games look a lot better. They look a lot less blurry. They've got screenshots. It looks really nice. It's not really my kind of thing, but you know, for a lot of people it is. They've also introduced a ultra low latency mode. And this is essentially for you super competitive gamers or you people who think that you can really tell the difference between, you know, milliseconds of delay. I don't know how many people actually can. Some people think they can. It ain't me. This is only going to be noticeable on games that are already GPU bound. Like your CPU is doing fine, but you're GPU bound and you're hitting 60 to 100 frames per second. If you're in that range, then this low latency mode actually works better for you. That's not me. None of this is for, I don't have one of these awesome new NVIDIA cards, but so there are some really cool things there for people who have got higher end gaming PCs. So you'll definitely want to grab that stuff and check that stuff out right away. The other news is actually other software from NVIDIA. And that is, NVIDIA has had a game streaming service for a while that they've been kind of redoing. It's called GeForce Now. And there's two big things here. One, it's coming to Android. So you're going to be able to do game streaming. And when we say game streaming here, we mean like Google Stadia, like Project xCloud from Microsoft. We're talking AAA games being streamed entirely to your devices. So streaming Cyberpunk 2077 that got announced for Google Stadia on your phone. So that's a big deal. Like, get yourself a Bluetooth controller. You're going to need one because most PC games don't have touchscreen controls. That would be weird. And play these games on your Android phone. Also, they're starting to upgrade some of their GeForce Now data centers with their RTX graphics cards. So these streaming games are going to look even better. So that's all really just great news. Now, that's rolling out slowly. It's just their data centers in Northern California, and I think it was Germany. It'll eventually come to all of them. But GeForce Now, like, it's yet another player in the streaming space, and they're one worth following because they're a gaming company. So I don't know how well it works from a latency and streaming sort of perspective, but when it comes to gaming technology, they're obviously a proven company. So worth paying attention there.
Right.
One more console sort of news here from Gamescom. Last year was the big year for all of Microsoft acquisitions. This year, Sony made a pretty big one. They acquired Insomniac Games. And this is kind of a big deal, but also not super surprising. Insomniac has mostly made Sony exclusives. The biggest one of note recently is the Spider-Man game. Huge, hugely successful, really great game on PlayStation 4 last year. They also made the Ratchet and Clank games. They've got a big history with Sony, so this does make sense. Where it sucks is if you're an Xbox fan, because they also were the ones that made Sunset Overdrive. So that was another great game that was a Xbox exclusive. So again, platform exclusives suck for us consumers, but it's great for Sony. So congratulations to Sony. And frankly, congratulations to Insomniac, because these types of deals are always really great for the studios. It means that they don't have to worry that they're going to go out of business if their next game doesn't go gangbusters.
Yeah, that is cool for them. It's bad for, well, Sony has been on a tear with Spider-Man, because one of the things we didn't talk about was that Sony basically walked away from the table, as far as I understand, on deals with Disney for Spider-Man to continue to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So Sony is going to retain the rights for Spider-Man, and that character will no longer be in Marvel movies.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Yikes.
All right, well, the last gaming story is for you, Richard.
Oh, yeah. You're only saying that because it's an Apple story. You don't want to tarnish yourself by talking about it.
No.
So I had mentioned this after the WWDC announcements that we heard earlier this year, and that was how Apple is planning on having a subscription arcade service that would allow you to access a library of games that really one of their main benefits is that they all will work offline. Every one of these games in the Apple Arcade, I don't know what they're calling it, if they're just calling it App Arcade or or iOS Arcade or what, but every one of them will work offline, which is a really cool thing. This service, we believe now from some sleuthing by reporters, is going to cost $4.99 a month. It is expected to come out next month when iOS 13 launches. I'm sure we will hear more about it at the iOS 13 and iPhone, whatever it's called, launch, which is also expected in the second week of September. And of course, like all of these things, it's going to have a free trial, and it's expected that that free trial is going to be 1 month. So that's pretty cool. You get to try this out for a month, decide if you like it or not. And if you do, it's only $5 a month. Pretty good pricing.
Cool. All right. That's it for our gaming news. We're not going to go over those free titles. Nothing changed in the last week. Hit up our show notes if you want to know what games are free on Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus. All right, so before we get into what's going on in our entertainment centers, this is where I like to remind you, podcasting, like gaming, like watching movies, is better with friends. So recommend the show to your friends, maybe on social, maybe take a screenshot, post it on Twitter, post it on Instagram. I don't know if that's what people do on Instagram. I'm not there. Richard's there. He's the cooler Instagram guy. But share our show on social. Let your friends know that we've got a jam-packed show this week of lots of information that all of your friends would be interested in. So let them know. All right, Richard, what's going on in your entertainment center?
Before we get into that, like this, as you're talking about that, this is kind of like the opposite of the FBI piracy notice, right?
Right.
Like, do not copy this content. We want you to share our content with your friends. Right. Tell them about it.
This podcast is shareware.
All right. So, yeah, in my entertainment center, I have some shocking news, Josh. Something that I hardly ever do. I canceled a service.
This is like, I already know what it is because I'm looking at the notes. I am super shocked by this. Tell the rest of our listeners what it is you canceled.
I know I'm the old guy. I'm the one that keeps hanging on. I'm the one that keeps having, I have phone service to my home. My house has a phone line. I still buy physical media when I buy a movie, but I just canceled the disc service on my Netflix subscription.
Wow. Wow. I think that means they can shut it down now, because I'm pretty sure you were the last person still paying. Every month, they're like, ugh, why do we have to keep stocking these stupid plastic? Oh, because that Richard Gunther guy.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So they have two, they actually have multiple disc services, but the cheapest is a $7 a month service that lets me get two discs a month, one at a time. The normal single disc service is $10 a month, which is as many as you want, but one at a time. And then they have two discs, three discs, and so on. So they still have all of that in place. I had pared it down as much as I could because I realized that I was paying a ridiculous amount of money to rent and hold and not watch discs for months and months and months at a time. So last week, or the week before, I forget which. No, it must have been last week. I decided that I was going to watch the movie that I had ordered from Netflix. I don't care to even remember how many months ago. And I went to watch it, and it was skipping on me. I'm like, damn it, you know, this is one of the things that really infuriates me about disc rentals. Is that when you go to watch it, then the disc is all scratched up and it doesn't work right. And so sure enough, I could just go and watch that movie for free on Amazon. So I'm like, screw it. I'm done. There isn't anything here that I care about enough that I can't either buy somewhere for cheaper than I'm paying each month to not watch it or stream it from some free service. So I canceled. So I'm going to save $7 a month.
Were they doing 4K Blu-rays?
No, only standard Blu-ray discs.
Mm. Yeah, so there's no reason for this.
Right, so that's the other thing. Right.
I'm going to die if in 2 weeks we're reporting that Netflix killed their disc service.
Okay, so don't die. But I don't think that that is going to happen. Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't know anyone else who subscribes to it, Richard. No one.
I'm sure people do, or it wouldn't exist. I'm fairly confident they're not keeping it alive for Richard Gunther.
Hopefully not, but you are pretty special.
Aw, thanks, Josh. All right. Well, in terms of what I've been watching, I have been watching, of course, Big Brother. There's an episode tonight. I'll be catching that after we're finished. I have been watching Extras. I have been watching The Boys. You know, okay, now, Lon Paul, I know you said, well, I don't know you said. I know that you're watching this. I think you finished it, actually. And I know that because of the TV Time app. Last time I talked about this, I'm like, I don't understand these promos for the show. They make it seem so violent, so dark. Oh my God, this show is dark. Like, it is crazy, but I am really enjoying it. It is so good. I think I mentioned this before, but the basic concept is that imagine if the superheroes were actually a bunch of a-holes.
Which they probably are, right?
And then how would you control that? And how would that influence society and the media and all sorts of... It's a fun show. I'm really enjoying it. And so I'm halfway through that, and I think I've watched an episode every night for the last 3 nights, actually. So hopefully I'll be finished that in short order. I finished The Good Place season 2, which means that I have no more Good Place episodes to watch, right? Because that's all they made, right? Just 2 seasons.
No.
Oh, right. There's 3 seasons, but I can't watch the 3rd season. Well, I could. I could watch the last 5 episodes of the 3rd season, but I can't watch the first 7, 9, however many there are episodes of the season, unless I pay for them individually because of licensing windows. So I'm waiting for Amazon. No, not Amazon. Netflix, I think, is going to make them available at the end of the month. And then I will be able to watch more of The Good Place. But come on! This is just so ridiculous.
This is how it's always worked.
I hate this. So
the
I hate it.
Previous season doesn't become available until right about the time the next season starts.
Right, which doesn't give you enough time to catch up. All right. Anyway, I also... I mentioned that I've been watching Black Mirror. I started season 3 of Black Mirror. I'm actually halfway through season 3 of Black Mirror. That is a dark season. Oh my. Wow.
It's Black Mirror. Yeah. Of course it is.
Yeah, I know. But season 2 is nowhere near as dark as season 3 is. It's crazy. All right. Also got back to Man in the High Castle. Speaking of dark, there's a theme going on. I don't know what that's about. So... Man in the High Castle, I had finished season 1 and started season 2. And if I remember correctly, I had started season 2 right around the time after the last presidential election. I kind of lost interest in it because there's so much going on. You really need to pay attention. And I decided to get back to that. So I rewatched the finale of season 1. And started season 2 again, and I'm watching season 2 and really enjoying it now that I'm like paying attention. Continuing with The Flash and Arrow, and I watched 2 movies. One that I can't believe I haven't seen yet because it's been out for so long and it's amazing. And 2, the second one that has not been out that long, but apparently lots of people think it's amazing because it's apparently the best-selling movie in the world ever. That last one, Avengers Endgame. Finally. I am finally caught up. Well, no, I'm not, because there's a Superman or Spider-Man movie.
Right.
Might be the last Spider-Man movie.
Spider-Man Far From Home continues the MCU's, you know, phase 2 or whatever. I don't know what it's even.
Right. So I finally get to figure out how they write themselves out of what happened in Avengers
Infinity War.
And I'm really happy with it. I think they did a very good job with the movie. I think it was a very, very good movie. People who are saying this is the best movie ever and deserves to be the top selling movie of all time in our world are just like on drugs or something.
Yes.
It was great. It was not that.
No, nope, not even close.
I will tell you a movie that I thought was just stunning and phenomenal. And if you haven't seen it yet and you have kids who are in school, you need to watch this movie, Waiting for Superman. I believe this was an Academy nominated documentary when it came out about 6 or 7 years ago. It is horrifying in how it exposes the failures of our country's education system. And I basically, there were parts of this movie that I rewound and rewatched because I couldn't friggin' believe the numbers and the information that they were putting in front of people.
Mm.
So if you're at all interested in our US education system and its problems, and I've lived in D.C. for many, many years. I don't anymore, but I lived there for nearly 20 years of my adult life and have, you know, so many concerns about how I see the education systems run around the country. And I've done a lot of work in my career in systems to support education, and I've seen that there as well. I highly recommend this movie. It is wonderful and horrible all at the same time.
Hmm. Is that on any of the streaming services?
It is. That is the movie that skipped for me. So I just watched it on Amazon instead of the disc that I had paid probably about $50 for.
Right. Oh, Richard.
All right, Josh, how about you?
So not a lot of gaming, a fair amount of Homeland, though. I think last week I had said I'd finished season 3. I'm now right around the middle of season 4 of Homeland. So cruising through that. It's such a great show. Such a great show. I can't watch it when Jen's around. She doesn't do well with intense TV. And that show is so intense. And man, the way that Claire Danes portrays someone with bipolar disorder is just, man. She, I don't pay attention to award shows, but it seems like she at least deserves nominations for how well she does this.
Yeah, she is amazing. And this is sharing way more than I have in the past about my personal life. But in my past, I've lived with someone who is bipolar.
Mm.
And I can totally relate to and see and believe the performance that she is doing on screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's impressive. And I mean, but unfortunately, that means that it's also really sad at times and stuff. But it's a really good series. So still loving that. And then on the gaming side, tried to play a little bit more. I'm trying to get my kids more into this. My daughter started playing Roblox, and I was like, well, if she's going to play Roblox on the computer, maybe I can get her to play some stuff with me. And my youngest one is a little bit more into some of that stuff anyway. So the Wii was acting up, so I couldn't play the Wii with him. So I was like, yeah, let's see what I've got on the Xbox that you guys might be able to play. I had Bomberman. Bomberman is a classic. I love Bomberman. I was like, all right, kids, you're going to learn about Bomberman. It's only one button. Like, this is pretty easy, guys. You ought to be able to do this. And we had a little bit of fun. They didn't love it as much as I had hoped, but we had 20 minutes of fun or so. So other than that, I've just been kind of like briefly checking out some things as I've been messing around with Game Pass more. I really need to get back and finish God of War eventually, especially since my friend would probably like to get that disc back sometime eventually ever. So yeah, that's it for me. I mean, we're heading into the big season though. Like, Control comes out next week. I'm really excited about that game. That's from the studio that made Quantum Break. We're only a couple weeks out from, like 3 weeks out, I think, from the next NHL game. Obviously going to be getting that as soon as it's available. There's Outer Worlds at the end of October. There's a lot of big games that I'm excited for in the fall, because that's when all of the big games come out. So need to rip through some of these things in my backlog before we get to all of that. All right, that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. If you want to get a hold of us, there's a lot of ways you can do that. All of them are listed in the show notes over at thedigitalmediazone.com. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. It's super easy. The website, not quite so easy, at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Instagram. Richard, you've got another show that's awesome, Home On, covering the latest smart home technology from the DIY perspective. What's going on with Home On?
Yeah, so the episode that's out now is what I've been talking about for a while now, that episode with Lee Odess from Schlage, or discussing Schlage. And we had, I think, a really good discussion about their evolution in the smart home. And I've already recorded our next episode with Mike Phillips, the founder of Sense. Now, this is someone who people have been asking me to get on the show for literally years. So I was so excited to talk with him, and we had a great discussion. That'll be out around the time of Labor Day. Now, Josh, you're not asking me, but if you were to ask me right now, so was that who you were talking about before, that that's who you wanted to get on the show, but you didn't have a confirmation yet. Let's just imagine that you asked me that right now.
Okay.
I would say, no, that's not who I was trying to get on for this next episode. So I'm just going to come out with it. I have been trying to get folks from Insteon to come on home on and talk about what they are doing in their next phase for literally years. And I feel like we're closer, but it hasn't happened yet. And I am so happy that Sense was more than flexible to fill in the available spot that I had rather than waiting until the original time that we had targeted for October. So thank you very much for Mike coming on, and I think you'll enjoy that show when it comes out. And then just a heads up, I am actually going to be on vacation for a couple of weeks in September, so I am taking a planned break. Usually we have breaks in Home On and we don't talk about it, but I am taking a scheduled and planned break for the month of September, and we will be back at the end of the month. Now, you will probably hear from me on the Smart Home Show because Cedia is happening in early September, and Adam and I will be talking about that while he is there on site.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of necessary. All right, well, come back and enjoy the show live with us. We had a few guys in the live chat tonight keeping it very interesting. We do this normally Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That wasn't the case this week, but it normally is then. So follow us on Twitter to know for sure when that live show is going to be so that you can chat along with us and see our faces while we give you the audio here. So that's going to do it for episode 494. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.